up for the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Ravens, they hold on to beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday down in Arlington, AT&T Stadium. Defense got a little shaky there, and here's John Harbaugh explaining what happened in the fourth quarter.
Two things go to that. Pass rush and pass coverage tie together. We're rushing the passer well, but we can be a little more consistent in terms of our rush lanes. And then coverage is just getting a little loose in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. So that's something that we just have to just understand. Sometimes a call is going to go against you. It may be right. It may not be right. But you can't let that change the way you play.
Yeah, the thing about it, too, is the defense was on the field a ton in the fourth quarter, and it was all passes. So, I mean, if you're only rushing four dudes through there, and they're the one series, they were out there back-to-back because of the onside kick. So, I mean, they're out there like 15, 18 straight plays, and you got to rush, and he's scrambling around. They were exhausted. Now, the secondary, I don't know their excuse. I mean, they were playing soft, but when you do play soft, you got to come up and make the tackle. You can't give up any yak yards after. And then the man-to-man coverage, you know, it kind of, some of those things, you know, like the Stevens stuff kind of came back to light again, can't find in the ball, and Wiggins playing soft coverage and playing man-to-man on CeeDee Lamb, you know, and then Ferguson, you know, he was torching him in the middle of the field. The guy who hadn't made any plays, Bob, to me, Marcus Williams. And he had a chance in the first quarter to get that pick right over Ferguson. He made it. He stepped in front of him, he hadn't made any plays. He missed a tackle. He's got to start making some plays.
And we're excited, about his potential for this year, given the health. But, you know, still 14 games left. Here's John Harbaugh talking about a controversial play. Dak Prescott in the end zone shovels it to an offensive lineman. What the hell happened there, John?
They said that it's not intentional grounding because somebody caught it, even though it's an illegal receiver that caught it, which is a penalty. So basically they get rewarded for having a penalty there. That's kind of probably not what they want by the rule. So we'll see. Maybe it's a loophole in the rule. I'm not sure. Something they'll probably look at. But because a receiver caught it, you can't call intentional grounding, even though it's an illegal receiver and there's no eligible receiver in the area, which would constitute grounding. So that's kind of how that's what he explained to me.
Yeah, bottom line is it cost the Ravens 2 points. That's the bottom. And those 2 points at that time, you know, maybe the whole game has changed because of those couple points and stuff. So I thought, you know, I mean, if that's the rule, they need to fix that loophole in the rule, like Harb said, because that was crediting Dallas for getting a penalty.
And it was probably as unintentional of a, you know what I mean? The offensive lineman, normally you'd be like, hey, just knock it down. But the fact that I guess he even threw it to him, if he would have batted it down,
Then it was a safety.
Then it's a safety.
Yeah, and Matabike would have got a safety. A sack.
Speaking of that, before we get back to John Harbaugh, we talked about this earlier with Kevin Allstriker. Ravens signing Yannick Ngakoue, a former Terp, to the practice squad. Back after, 3 years away. Didn't seem to thrive in the Wink Martindale scheme. Does Zach Orr make things a little easier for him to play to his strengths, if you will?
Yeah, because here's the thing with Wink's defense with the pass rushers. He never allowed them to go either in or out, whatever they felt like, you know, where they could get access to the quarterback. So if they were supposed to be outside, they had to stay to the outside. You know, and because we were always watching it, like, you know, why don't you line him up a little wider and give him a chance? But that wasn't Wink's defense. And now, you know, with the Mike McDonald and Zach Orr defense, you know, where you can move out a little bit wider and you can jump inside if that gives you better access. So I think he'll be better in this defense than he was Wink. So to me, that's the advantage. And what kind of shape is – that's probably why he'll be on the practice squad for 2 weeks until he's out at practice, Bob, and he's showing, like, we got to get him on the field because right now Ajabo's rushes were bad. You know, I mean, he's done nothing. Tavius Robinson's not a rusher. So you got two guys. You know, you have Oway and Vannoy. Vannoy's playing awesome right now. And Oway, he didn't have, you know, he had maybe one good rush or whatever. But they need another, they need some more additions to give them some pressure on the quarterback.
And if you remember, Yannick Ngakoue, one of the great interviews we've ever done on Vinny and Haney. Remember, he hung up one.
Yes, he did.
When he was still in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think you asked him about the offensive line being bad in the NFL, and he just hung up.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Davey Johnson, though, who yelled at Landlin and said, never call us again.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days. Anyway, it is news from the Nasty. Offensive line's taking some heat. John Harbaugh, how did they do this week against Dallas?
Offensive line as a team, the good news is we came a long way. And the good news is we have a long way to go. And that's good news because that gives us an opportunity to get a lot better. So I see great upside in our whole team. I also see great upside in our offensive line. But by no means were we perfect anywhere. You know, especially in the offensive line, they played well. We got a lot of rushing yards. But there's plenty of things to get better at.
I would say that game probably helped Falele the most. And the reason I say that is because in the run, he just looked, and I was watching some of the All-22 a little bit ago, and he just looks like he's in better shape, he's quicker. He doesn't look as slow and, like, stopping on a play. It looked like he's playing faster right now. Maybe he gets it because he's not guessing or anything. In the run game, let's hold that. Voorhees kind of struggled some in that game. And in the past stuff, when Micah Parsons was there, McCary can't block him one-on-one. And, you know, and it just... But when they did the pass stuff, Bob, there was still... They don't handle the quickness very well. And they're going to get a good test of it this week. And the thing that saves a bad offensive line is a run game. And they were coming off the ball. They were getting movement. Dallas's defensive line is not big. The linebackers are not big. And fundamentally, Dallas's defense stunk. But the Ravens took advantage of that and give some credit to the offensive line in the run game.
And we'll have film study for the Ravens coming up tomorrow. And finally, you mentioned Daniel Faalele, Vinny. Here's John Harbaugh talking about his teammates rallying around him.
He played with more aggressiveness. You know, he came off the ball. He moved people. He knocked people off the ball. He got up on linebackers. He cut people off. He knocked down blocks down across. You know, he knocked tackles across the center sometimes, you know. Some things that made those runs really go. He was a big part of that, along with the other guys, you know. So that was good. And yet there were other things that he didn't do as well, and he knows that he can keep getting better at. So, again, Daniel came a long way in that game. I think he's kind of indicative of that whole statement. And the good news is he's got a long way to go, and he's capable of so much more.
I totally agree with everything Harb said because everything that Harb's talked about that he did good one was in what? All the run game stuff. The stuff he needs to improve, those 15 passes, yeah, that's where he needs a lot of work in the pass stuff. That's where he needs a lot of work. But, Bob, they're going to have to throw it more in some of these other games, and that's when he's been exposed.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count that dough. Hopefully, turn it up Tuesday style. Buy or sell, Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, returns to the show. Preview Orioles-Yankees starts tonight. 7:05 in the Bronx. Orioles win, Twins or Royals lose. Orioles win they get in as a wild card team. Seeding to be determined. They're probably going to be number one. Yankees win. They win the American League's Eastern Division. Speaking of winning, well, a couple of last week's Feeble Fivers. They got their first wins. Will they be around in the Feeble Five for this week heading into week four? You'll find out around 12:45. It's Vinny Haney, Nolan McGraw.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here on the Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Orioles in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, talk about that. Bottom of the hour. Don't forget Baltimore Baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Tim Barbalace, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordy getting you ready to rock and roll. Got Vinny's Feeble Five coming up later in this hour. Who are the five worst teams in the NFL through 3 weeks? Plenty of sports stuff, obviously, to get to. Let's count that dough, though.
Fire yeah. Time. Before we count the dough, Bob, I was looking at the weather next Tuesday. 55% chance of rain.
In Baltimore?
Yes.
Rock on, baby. But the weather is about as unpredictable as, you know, the weather.
Right.
it's like gambling touts and weather people.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, well, my bad. What, I get my money back? Nope, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I just bought a new umbrella. My bad.
As much as the weather people are wrong, I mean, you know, doesn't matter. Hey, they come out. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. Then, you know, it's beautiful and sunny. Hey. You know, I just tell you what the radar said.
That's atmospheric pressure.
Right? The Dow's up 36. The S&P's up 12. NASDAQ is up 105. DraftKings down 20 cents. Under Armour's up 12 cents.
Well, let's talk about the Steelers here. They sit at 3-0 to open the season, mm-hmm. and a lot of credit for that has to go to the defense. They rank right now through 3 weeks number one in yards and points allowed. Some in Pittsburgh starting to draw comparisons between this year's unit and some of the other top Steelers defenses of recent history. Mike Tomlin as a coach has enjoyed many standout defenses in his early years, 2010, 2011. Those kind of immediately come to mind, the 2 years where they were number one in points allowed across both seasons. Vinny, buy or sell, this year's defense will be the best in at least the last 10 years of Steelers history.
You know what? I'll buy it. I just think they're a lot faster. And I think Queen is probably starting to get the feel of it. Because I think the first couple games he had like four tackles or whatever. And I think Sunday he had 10. So maybe he's getting a much better feel for the defense right now. But as long as those two rushers stay healthy, they're dangerous.
Yeah, T.J. Watt. Oh. Highsmith left the game, though, Sunday, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah.
We'll move over to Major League Baseball here. There were high hopes for the Cincinnati Reds coming into the season. Had a young core that finished just above 500 last year, but ultimately took a step back, most likely going to finish below 500, marking their fourth straight year without a trip to the playoffs. As a result, they fired their manager, David Bell, over the weekend. He had been there for 6 years. 83 wins was his high watermark, and the only postseason trip they made was in the shortened 2020 season. Buy or sell, Bob, a new manager, exactly what Cincy needs to take the next step.
Yeah, around. I'll buy that. I mean, they've got De La Cruz, they have India, they have Spencer Steer. They got a lot of really good young players, some good young arms as well. He got hired the same year Hyder did.
Yeah, but then he just got an extension, too, I think, this past year.
I guess they expected them to kind of take that next step. Yeah. Instead, they regressed. You know, a new voice could be needed. David Bell, by all accounts, is well-liked by the players. And, boy, he'll get in your grill if you're an umpire. Remember Buddy Bell's his dad, Gus Bell's his grandfather. I mean, he's got a baseball all-star baseball lineage, and he was a good ball player himself. But, yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, the Reds, I'm one of these old geezers that thinks it's when historic teams are relevant, like the Reds, it's good for baseball, and they need to be relevant because that Ellie De La Cruz, he gets on a national stage.
Yeah.
Watch out. That guy's a rock star.
Well, the Bears, they've been waiting to get their run game going this season. A matchup against the Colts looked like a prime opportunity for a breakout game, considering the massive numbers that Indy had allowed to the likes of Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs in the weeks prior. Instead, Chicago racked up just 63 on the ground, and their offseason acquisition, DeAndre Swift, averaged just 1.5 yards per carry. He got 13 touches in that game. Now, the O-line, that's certainly a factor. They haven't been doing that whole offense any favors so far this year. But by or sell, Vinny, the lack of a run game is what's hurting rookie quarterback Caleb Williams the most.
I will soft bite because I think it goes back to the offensive line. The offensive line, they can't run it, and he got sacked 8 times. So, I mean, the offensive line is pretty pathetic, I would say, right now. They kind of go hand in hand, you know, when the O-line's bad and you can't run. I mean, look at what the Ravens did by running the ball. All of a sudden, the crappy, you know, the offensive line who's been getting criticized every day, all of a sudden it's like, oh, they weren't too bad.
Yeah, I thought them signing Swift was
going
to be a good move.
I was about to say, yeah, when the Ravens were in the market.
We liked Swift.
Right, that was the name that we were kind of like, hey, this guy's still pretty young. He's 25 years old, for God's sake. You're looking at all the free agent options. He looked pretty enticing.
And Taylor Swift's having a better year running the football right now.
Well, speaking of
financially
Taylor.
Financially, too.
Well, she's having a better year than most people walking the face of the planet.
You're reading my notes here, Bob. Speaking of, a Kelsey question here. Yeah. The Chiefs, they're not complaining about 3-0, obviously, but some might be alarmed by Travis Kelsey's slow start to the season. Just 8 receptions, 69 yards through those 3 games, 12 targets overall. A far step back from what we've seen over the years, the connection between him and Mahomes. Well, Kansas City quarterback says that they're drawing up the plays for Kelsey. That hasn't changed, but defenses are double-teaming, sometimes even triple-teaming him in coverage. Bob, are you buying or selling that is the reason for the lack of production?
I'll soft buy it. However, he's got so much on his plate right now with the celebrity that he's become. He's 35 years old. I don't even think he was targeting in the first half against Atlanta on Sunday night. So maybe Father Time is starting to win a little bit more. But before their season is over, he's going to be an impactful player for them some way, somehow. Might not be the dude he was 3-4 years ago, or even that year, or last year for that matter. But he could still play, and we're going to probably see it to some level here soon.
Right. He could have the worst statistical season of his career. It'll still end up being him that catches the game winner in, you know, the divisional round.
He's been a stud pretty much since he's been in the league. Alex Smith was making, you know, he was making Alex Smith look like an all-pro there.
He doesn't look as fast right now.
True. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back, let's talk some baseball, Yankees, Orioles style. Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, New York. How are they looking heading into the postseason? Probably going to win the division, maybe as soon as tonight. And also talk about how the Orioles are different from the Oriole team that went in there and pulled their pants down and spanked that ass. Back in June, then we got the Feeble Five. Who are the 5 worst teams in NFL through 3 weeks? I guess the Giants, they can't be. Carolina, man, who's the worst team in football? Let's all find out together. Birds in the Bronx, 7:05, taking on New York. Games on TBS. By the way, a little national TV love there. Orioles could clinch a playoff spot with a win in either a Kansas City or Minnesota loss. Yankees win the division if they beat the Birds tonight. Here to talk about that and more from the Bergen Record, let's welcome back to the show Pete Caldera. Pete, what's happening?
How you doing? Good to be with you.
Now, hey, thanks for joining us as always. Last year, Gunnar Henderson got Rookie of the Year, and you know Colton Cowser is certainly a candidate, perhaps for 2024. You know, Mayo and Jackson Holliday didn't go according to plan, but what about with the Yankees with Wells and Luis Gil? What are the chances that the Yankees could possibly get the 2024 American League Rookie of the Year? And how huge have those two guys been to their success this season?
Yeah, I don't have a vote, and you know, I'd be going down to the wire, you know, thinking about it if I had. But yeah, I think certainly Austin Wells, the way he's come on as you know, their regular catcher and regular cleanup hitter against right-handers, you know, offering you know, Aaron Judge some protection back there, and the, you know, and his defense too. Since about mid-June when he took over for Trevino, you know, they were basically splitting time, and Trevino goes on the IL, and then Wells becomes the guy. I think he's got a really interesting case, you know, just because the importance he's played to the team and the position he plays, and you know, first and foremost, you know, being the you know, the guy that's got to deal with the veteran staff largely, and I think he's done a pretty outstanding job. And you know, Luis Gil is kind of, you know, he was the best pitcher in the American League, you know, probably for the first 2 months of the season, and was a very, you know, integral part of you know, their big start, and essentially, you know, replaced Gerrit Cole with you know, Cy Young type numbers. So you know, it's leveled off since then. They don't really know what his role in postseason might be. Could it be as a starter? Could it be as a multi-inning reliever? But certainly, if you're taking it from about you know, mid-June on, it's Wells has it probably by a nose.
And Pete, you mentioned that Gerrit Cole missed the first month or so of the regular season, pitched well against the A's over the weekend, and some, you know, shaky outings in between. How close is Gerrit Cole being going to be to, you know, the vintage Gerrit Cole once we get in October here?
Yeah, it certainly seems like he's, you know, he's ramping back up into, you know, the form you saw most of last year with his last outing. You know, he had that rather bizarre outing against the Red Sox when he walked Devers, and things kind of fell apart from there. But you know, I listen, this is the guy they trust the most in that rotation, and as long as he's healthy, and he has been since he's come back from the elbow nerve irritation that he dealt with late spring training, and you know, was on the IL for, you know, the better part of 2 months. You know, he's really, you know, you've seen more flashes of the vintage Cole, and I think that's obviously a good sign. And I don't know whether he believes, you know, he's saved some bullets or not for October by, you know, not having to expend pitches in April and May, but certainly they'll have a, you know, a fresh and motivated and ready Gerrit Cole for game one of any playoff series.
Pete Caldera covers the Yankees in Major League Baseball for the Bergen Record. Orioles in the Bronx tonight. Both teams probably going to clinch playoff spots over the course. Well, the Yankees are in, but the division over the course of the next 3 days. What about the bullpen? And, you know, there was an argument going in the All-Star break that could it be Holmes or Kimbrel getting the All-Star nod, which went to Holmes, and then Kimbrel no longer part of the team as he had a miserable July through the middle part of September. But Holmes, like last time we saw him, he was beating old Heston Kerstad in the melon, and he's blown his share of saves as well. Yes. Have things start to stabilize for New York at the back end at, I guess, the right time of the year going into the playoffs?
Well, yeah, and I mean, and there are no two greater examples of how volatile, you know, relief pitching is in the major leagues than those two examples that you just gave. But yeah, I mean, kind of surprisingly, the Yankees have stabilized the back end of their bullpen with Luke Weaver. I mean, this is a guy that when he was in spring training, you're kind of wondering what his role, if he had any on this team, and he really kind of struggled the first half of spring, kind of remade his own delivery, had been relying more on breaking pitches, now has a cutter that you know, has become a really excellent weapon, and he is, since the early part of September, you know, taken over that closer's role for Holmes, and has really been, you know, a bit of a revelation back there. So they have stabilized that with Weaver in the last 3 weeks. You know, their setup relief is, you know, that, you know, you think about it, as you know, as the injuries have caught up to the Orioles, you know, the Yankees have gotten healthier. You know, they've gotten Ian Hamilton back in their bullpen now. You know, obviously that, you know, they have parts of their lineup that are back. They have, you know, but they're in their bullpen, they have a better swing and miss guy in the setup position now in Ian Hamilton, and you know, providing a little more you know, support for Holmes, who's now in a setup role and really still trying to gain some traction there. You know, Tim Hill, lefty, who's a, you know, off the White Sox scrap heap, is you know, become a, you know, pretty important reliever for the Yankees too. So, you know, they're kind of mixing and matching it and piecing it together, and they'll have you know, a couple of starters potentially in that bullpen to help them along too in postseason. So, you know, they're in a better position now with that bullpen probably than they have been all year.
Hey, Pete, a couple of weeks ago, Bob said whichever team, because this is when Yankees and Orioles were going back and forth, you know, the whole time. And Bob said a couple of weeks ago, whichever team goes and wins 7 out of 10 is going to win a division. What did the Yankees do to do that?
Well, you mean as far as going forward or where they've been?
Where they've been? Why did they all of a
Orioles
sudden
were
go
a half
run,
game up and know. They want you know 2-8?
I mean, it's just that they got healthier. They were kind of patching the tire a bit with guys like, you know, you saw, you know, for a while, you know, they were getting by at first base, and now they got Rizzo back. You know, that's been a big part of it. Gleyber Torres was having a really rough first 3.5-4 months of the year. They put him at the back of the leadoff spot, and he's been hitting 300 with an 800 plus OPS since mid August. Wells, you know, giving that line of support for Soto and Judge at the top. You know, Giancarlo Stanton's had a pretty good year on balance, and he's for the most part remained healthy, they've gotten healthy. They've had healthy starting pitching really since Cole's come back too, and they're going to have to make some, you know, difficult choices, I guess, with the healthy elements of their rotation to see who gets slotted into the bullpen now. So it's really, I think, just the general health and talent of their team is sort of risen here.
Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Pete, last thing for you. With the AL East, we always expect it's going to be the best division in baseball. This year it's not. It's Baltimore, New York, and then the rest. How surprised are you that the Blue Jays bottomed out the way that they did, and Boston kind of keeps treading water in that mediocrity phase?
Yeah, I guess maybe not as surprised with Toronto. I mean, it's just an amalgamation of a lot of talent that just never comes together. And I, you know, for the last 3 years, probably I've been picking them to win the division, and I got smart this year and, you know, just said that, you know, predicted, you know, the Orioles would win the East and the Yankees would get one of the wild cards. And, but yeah, I guess maybe not as more surprised that they're a last place team and it wasn't, the Rays or the Red Sox, more surprised too. A little surprised that the Red Sox are still hanging around. But I think, you know, what I'm really more surprised is that these three games, you know, really, even 2 weeks ago, we were circling this series as, you know, vital to the American League East title. And I mean, how much fun would it have been to see Garrett Cole and Corbin Burns go head to head in a game where, you know, these two teams were tied and, you know, going into that last game of the series. So that's the disappointment for me. But I'm sure the Orioles will be heard from in October. And maybe these two teams aren't done yet.
Hey, maybe that matchup happens in the divisional round, the way things could be shaping up here. Pete Caldera, Bergen Record. Pete, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the series, and we'll talk to you hopefully before the playoffs here.
It sounds good. Let's do it again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete.
Pete Caldera, everybody. Talking some baseball with us on The Fan. We'll come back. Switch back to the NFL. Feeble Five. We gave it their dirty dozen. Vinny's 12 best teams in the NFL led by Kansas City. Who are the five worst? I'm kind of curious to hear because a lot of these teams were winning last week.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Earlier in the show, now that 3 weeks of NFL fun in the books. If you missed it last night, Buffalo and Washington were your winners. We gave you the dirty dozen. 12 best teams in the NFL led by the Kansas City Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champs. They're 3-0. Say, congratulations to them doing what they have to do. Now we get to the bottom end. That's the five worst teams heading into week 4. Vinny's Feeble Five.
All right, last week, Carolina was one, and they won. The Giants were two, and they won. Jacksonville was three. Denver was four. They won. And then the Rams were fifth, and they won. So, coming in week four, coming in at number five, 1-2 Miami.
You suck.
Yep, they lost at Seattle 23-3. They're hosting Tennessee on Monday night. Miami has scored fewer points this entire season than Carolina scored this week.
Oh, no way.
Yep, Miami has scored 33 points. Carolina scored 36 over Vegas.
The Red Rifle coming out firing.
Coming in at number four, 1-2 Cleveland.
You suck.
They lost to the Giants 21-15 at home. Both their losses have been in Cleveland. They are at Vegas. Now, it's been a full calendar year since Deshaun Watson surpassed 219 yards passing in a single game.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And how much money they owe him?
What, 240 mil? Oh, left? I don't know, left.
But, I mean, didn't they just renegotiate, but they couldn't buy him out and all?
Yeah, he got like a check for, here's 70 mil. Coming in at three, 1-2 Carolina.
You suck.
They won at Vegas 36-22. They are hosting Cincinnati. The Panthers are last in the NFL, averaging 14 first downs a game. That'll increase with the Red Rifle.
Oh, yeah, and he played well. Boy, did I do a Cundiff last week, my niece's fantasy team. I told her to bench Adunze and start Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Adunze had a big game. Thielen scored, then got hurt, blew out his hamstring on the touchdown. Probably done for the year.
Coming in at number two, 0-3 Tennessee.
You suck.
They lost to Green Bay 30-14. They're at Miami Monday night. After three games, the Titans, NFL worst minus seven turnover differential.
And most of that is from Will Levis.
And they wouldn't be 0-3 if it wasn't, if Levis had no turnovers, they'd be probably 2-1.
Who's the coach there, Callahan?
Yes.
He's not real happy with Will Levis. He basically said after the game, said the quarterback can't lead the league in turnovers and expect us to win. Will Levis.
Yeah. Coming in at number one, Jacksonville.
You suck.
0-3. They lost at Buffalo 47-10. They're at Houston. Jacksonville signed Trevor Lawrence to a $275 million contract with $200 million guaranteed in the offseason. He's lost his last eight starts and is 20-33 as a starter.
Yeah, no longer blaming Urban Meyer for his early struggles. He's, yes, what, year three?
Yeah.
Into Doug Peterson. Ooh. And, you know, this was the next great thing, and we've seen glimpses of it. But you said eight straight losses. Starting quarterback, and you know Houston's going to be mad because they got blown out at Minnesota.
Oh, yikes. $200 million he got guaranteed.
I don't know. He, what's it like we talked about, Darnold peaked as a redshirt freshman at USC. You say the same for Trevor Lawrence.
His freshman year was his best year.
Yeah, he won a national championship.
All right, so in summary, one is Jacksonville, two Tennessee, three Carolina, four Cleveland, five Miami.
Yikes! All right, Nolan, haven't really had time to talk to you much. How you doing over there, by the way?
I'm doing good, except for the picks last night.
All right, let's get to the standings here, and we'll recap what happened last night. It was Buffalo 47-10 over Jacksonville. We all had, I mean, at least two of us were rational here, right?
We took Buffalo.
I mean, look, your back's against the wall. You can't fall to 0-3. You're going to end up number one in the Feeble Five, for God's sake. Don't lose this game. Yeah. They lost. I picked Jacksonville.
Yeah, that game was over by the first quarter.
Oh, boy.
And then Washington against Cincinnati, and I don't think anybody saw this one coming, right?
No. We all had the Bengals picking up their first win, but that was not to be.
All right, updated standings as we get to break for a couple of days before Thursday night here.
All righty, updated standings here. I got Bob still in the lead, 39-27. Vinny, 38-28.
Ooh, I'm only one behind.
I'm now farther back, 36-30.
I'm right on your tail, Bob.
No, no Yingling for you. I know that. But there's still plenty of football left to be played. And even overall, they're not great picks. We all finished 7-11.
Yeah.
On Sundays, then what, a Thursday?
In college, too.
College is brutal, so we got to pick up the pace. All right, schedule for week four, Dallas and the Giants coming up on Thursday. Dallas 4.5-point
favorite. That's going to be a tough one to pick, Bob.
Hey, look, Giants lost at Washington, a game they could have won, but they didn't have a kicker, yeah. And then they thumped old Cleveland there, I guess. New Orleans at Atlanta, Falcons -2. Rams at the Bears, Chicago -2.5. I don't know, Bears... Damn. They lost at Indy. Rams beat San Fran. All right, whatever. Minnesota's at Green Bay. Jordan Love could be back. Spreads 2.5 in favor of the Pack. Colts are hosting Pittsburgh. Steelers -2. You got the Jets laying 7 against the Broncos. Philly is at Tampa. Eagles road favorites, 2.5 points there. Cincinnati's at Carolina. Cincinnati -5. You got Houston hosting Jacksonville. Texans -6. Washington is at Arizona. Cardinals -3.5.
Damn, that's a tough pick game. A
little old school George Allen versus Don Coryell matchup there. New England at San Francisco. 49ers, 9.5. One favorites in that game.
Damn, and Purdy had an MRI on his back.
Oh, well, yeah. That's not Purdy. And then Cleveland's at the Raiders, Las Vegas -1. It's funny, Gardner Minshew looked like the next Brett Favre against the Ravens. Now they're talking about benching him coming up this week. Kansas City is at the Chargers. I guess the odds makers have a crystal ball with the injuries because Kansas City's 7.5-point favorites in L.A. And I'm going to go ahead and guess, guys, that there'll be more Chiefs fans than Chargers fans.
Yes.
At that one. And then Sunday night, Buffalo's at Baltimore. Ravens 2.5-point favorites there. Monday night, as Vinny said, Tennessee is at Miami. Titans -1.
Ooh.
On the road, Tyler Huntley. Come on down. And then Seattle's at Detroit. Lions -4.
Oh, yeah. Is Mike McDonald going to get his first loss?
Hey, going on the road.
But the only thing about it, Bob... Go back to last year's Detroit game. Ravens. They thumped.
Yeah, and they were coming in, I think, maybe one or two of us picked Detroit to win the game.
Yeah, and Mike
Ravens
McDonald's
blew
defense.
Them out. Yep.
Yeah.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back at NFL Lunch. More John Harbaugh coming your way. Then the American League East Report and beyond. We'll look at tonight's schedule. A couple of clinching scenarios in play. Stay tuned for that. And then Michael Silver, longtime NFL writer. He's got a new book coming out. Is The Why Is Everything, a story of football, rivalry, and revolution. He'll explain that one to us coming up around 1:30. It's Vinny Haney, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.